you have only a short time to prepare your remarks on these cases. You don't pare them down very easily. And so I've got quite a few slides here, but they're I think useful to you, because what you are looking at here is Justice Guzman's primer on royalty clauses and the nuances in arcane oil and gas terminology, okay? So I put the entire primer in here, and the indented provisions are the footnotes, okay? I think this primer is going to be cited a lot in future cases. Given the number of times that the Nations Bank case has been cited, for example, and he cites it here, this is only the second time that the Supreme Court of Texas has fully explained its rather tortured history. And so I thought that was interesting. The only other time was when it decided Hyder, and that was another case where the court held that post-production costs were not permissible. You may recall the Nations Bank case ended up being deadlocked 4-4 on a motion for rehearing after Justice Enoch had recused himself. And so the precedent of the decision is still valid, but it is a kind of an unusual case in that regard. Now, Guzman next reminds us, I should say, about the work back calculation, which of course is the common one that's used when you are backing off from a downstream sales point back to the lease line or to the well. And he makes the point here that I think we sometimes forget about, which is that the comparable sales method is the one that ought to be used. But of course, the reason that it is not used is because usually there are not wellhead or lease line sales. Sometimes I think when you look at some of those cases that have rejected a comparable sales approach, I sometimes think the evidence is probably just as good as using a workback method, because as Guzman goes on to say, though, the workback method is kind of a proxy for determining market value at the well or at the lease line. So here's what he has to say about the workback method. I'm not going to go through all of that, but I did think this last statement that he makes, which is in part quoting another authority, but a secondary authority, it strikes me that the last statement is a bit of a non sequitur, because if there were an arm's length purchaser at the wellhead or at the lease, that sale would directly determine the royalty, and there would be no need to make any post-production costs. In other words, the post-wellhead costs would be irrelevant at that point. But that's a very minor criticism or comment. Then he talks about the printed lease a bit, and correctly, I think, without any controversy, reflects the general rule that a lessor would share post-production costs based upon established Texas case law, such as Nations Bank and others. Of course, nationally, this is where a few jurisdictions take a different approach. And the crux of the difference is really what is meant by the word production. See, in other words, all jurisdictions, I think, agree that royalty is due after oil and gas has been produced. But the question is what's the definition of produced? And Texas has resolved this where production occurs by saying, basically, that production occurs when it's severed at the wellhead or when it leaves the lease line, depending upon the express language of a particular royalty clause. And in doing so, I think properly rejects this idea of an expanded implied covenant to market that's been used in Oklahoma and West Virginia and Colorado and in some of the Kansas cases. But I do think sometimes that the courts misdrew what the express royalty clause intended. Okay. So when I'm not a fan of an expanding implied covenant to market, but I do sometimes have trouble with how courts construe the written language of the clause. He then talks about proceeds clauses and amount realized clauses, makes no distinction between the two. The Supreme Court of Oklahoma some years ago tried to suggest that there was maybe a distinction, but they never drew the distinction, and it's just dicta in a case. Guzman reminds us that proceeds clauses are distinct from market value clauses under Texas law, and that they are sometimes modified by the word gross proceeds, or net proceeds, and sometimes they're not modified at all.